as you've alluded to, all these departments were under your domain, U.S. Customs Service, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, U.S. Marshal Service, Immigration. Must be some stories in there. So by the time you become governor of Oklahoma, that had to be a breeze compared to what you had there.
At the Justice Department, I had the U.S. Marshals. I had Interpol again. I had the Immigration Naturalization Service, 94 U.S. attorneys in the prison system. So I was a full-service banker. I had it all. And all those agencies were highly professional people. And I was very proud to be with them. Many of those guys are still my friends today. When the Secret Service got to that Cartagena mess, you know, the prostitutes, that was just culturally impossible for me to comprehend. Because in my day, that would be intolerable. I remember one time, the assistant director of the FBI, who was the training guy, each of us had to come and sing. I walked in, I had a blazer and gray slacks, and he said, "Do you want a suit?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, then wear it." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Let me give you some advice, and I'm going to share it with your classmates. You're going to have a partner. If your partner screws up and you don't tell the supervisor that he screwed up, I'll fire both of you." You understand that? And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you married?" And I said, "No." He said, "You're married to your spouse and the badge, and that's it. There's no such thing as friendship under the law. You do only what is legally and morally right, period. You understand that?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Good." He said, "Mr. Hoover told me," you know, J. Edgar Hoover was really old and on the way out. He always used to meet with the classes, talk to individuals, like a couple of years before I was an agent and a couple of years after, because he died, I think, in 72. You know, I went through the academy in 69. He was elderly and frail.
You mentioned Jim Baker. He was, of course, in Ronald Reagan's cabinet. What was he like?
Baker was a tough guy, and he was my boss. He was Secretary of the Treasury. He ran for Attorney General of Texas once and was defeated. The issues I handled, he had really very little interest. He was focused on fiscal policy, international trade policy. He used to tell me, "Just keep all those problems away from me." The Customs Service had a very outspoken commissioner who drove Jim Baker crazy. A guy named Willie Von Robb, who's a good guy, still living and active. But Baker said, "Just take care of him. I don't want any problems out of that guy." So I did a lot of international travel in the Soviet Union, behind the Iron Curtain. Lots of interesting stories dealing with communist officials in those days. So it was fun. And Treasury was a first-rate department. And then I worked for Ed Meese. Baker and Meese didn't like each other. I didn't realize that at the time.
Ed Meese's position was?
Attorney General of the United States. So Meese and I went around the world together. There was a trip to visit a lot of the Interpol people, the drug places, Burma, Myanmar, places like Colombia and Peru, the Philippines, various places. But in any event, Rudy Giuliani had my job, and Giuliani wanted to be U.S. attorney, which was the guy that you reported to be Associate Attorney General. But he wanted to run for mayor, so he left that job. So Ed Meese called me and he said, "Frank, the president wants you to continue at Treasury, but to come over here and be number three at Justice. So you'll have all that enterprise and you'll have all the Treasury enterprise. And would you help?" J. Edgar Hoover never had that much fun when he had all that stuff. But it really infuriated Jim Baker, because I didn't know at the time he didn't like Ed Meese, and he thought Ed had purloined me from him, and he was not a happy camper.
Was that just personality? Were there egos? What was the problem?
I don't know. I think Baker was George H.W.'s guy. Meese was Ronald Reagan's guy. And I think that never the twain shall meet. But Baker was very smart, very conscientious. He was a very fine Secretary of Treasury. Meese, I think, was a very fine Attorney General, very smart, very conscientious, and the sweetest spirited person I've ever known. I never heard Ed Meese say anything critical or nasty of any human being. He was always, "Why could that happen? Why would anybody do that?" And he was, if anything, a gentleman's gentleman. He was wonderful.
President Bush elevates you in 1990 to general counsel and acting deputy secretary of housing and urban development. That was under Secretary Jack Kemp until 1993. That experience, tell us about that.
Well, I've been the acting attorney general of the U.S., acting secretary of the Treasury. Those are the premier cabinet departments, defense and state as well. HUD is third world. I mean, HUD, who would ever want to go to housing and urban development? But Kathy didn't want to come back home at that time. She was working, and I was all ready to throw it in. Kemp called me and he said, why don't you come over and be the general counsel? You'll have 400 and some other lawyers work for you. I had been a title lawyer, so I had some of that housing knowledge, but this was totally different dealing in public housing, assisted housing. I got over there and I just loved Jack Kemp. He was such a friend to ordinary people. He said, you know, Frank, the difference between rich people and poor people? I said, what's that? And he said, rich people have more money. It's the only difference. You know, big African-American tackle saved his life. I don't know how many times. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He had no racial animus whatsoever. So he put me on representing him on the Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Commission. And I became a friend of Mrs. King, whom I adored. When I was nominated for the 10th Circuit, got left to the altar because Howard Metzenbaum didn't want to confirm me. Mrs. King came to my office to call Kennedy, Metzenbaum, and Biden to say Frank Keating should be confirmed. He'll be a fine judge. Well, of course, Clinton was going to win. And Clinton said, Frank and I went to school together, confirm him. But to have Coretta Scott King come to my office and sat there and called. At one point, she was talking to either Kennedy or Biden, and she said, they're scared to death. You know, because Mrs. King, I mean, their knees were knocking. I remember I sent her a dozen yellow roses. She wrote me a note, and she said, do you know this is the first time anybody ever sent me a dozen roses? Wow. Think about all the people she helped, did nice things for, and no one ever said thank you, apparently.
But you connected with her because you were on the
commission for Jack. If Jack Kemp couldn't be at the Martin Luther King Jr. Commission meetings, then I subbed for him. I thought Mrs. King was just terrific.
So that didn't go anywhere. I mean, you would have ended up being a judge.